Good evening, everyone. Welcome back to our Sunday evening service at Thomas Village Baptist Church. I want to welcome all out in Facebook land, and if you're out there in the parking lot or listening on the 88.1, and we're going to start with number 187. Sing us a song, because I know y'all like to sing, so it's 187, In the Garden. Let's grab a hymnal and let's stand and sing.
Good evening to you on Facebook or on the radio tonight. We'll be back, kindly our diving board scripture. We'll be back in Romans chapter 10, but we're going to go through the Romans road tonight. You remember this morning we talked about there's many different, plans or methods when you're telling people about Jesus. We've talked about the ABCs, which we learned in Vacation Bible School. A, admit. B, believe. C, confess. And then I don't know if you've ever, I know you, most of you probably know who Kirk Cameron is, but how many of you know who Ray Comfort is? His is more of an aggressive style evangelism. And basically what they'll do on the street is that they'll get into, ask somebody, like, do you think you'll go to heaven when you die? And what will most people say is yes. And then he'll say something like, well, if what you believed was false, would you want to know? And then they'll use the law, you know, the Ten Commandments. Have you ever told a falsehood? You know, have you ever coveted, you know, and things like that. And it's very, a lot in your face type of stuff. And then there's some others. I'm hoping to do it this summer, either on a Sunday night or a Wednesday night, go through the Sharing Jesus Without Fear. And again, I don't think any of these are the end-all, be-all, but the Romans Road, I like to say, if you're trying to get anywhere, you like to have directions. And for people to come to know Jesus Christ, Romans, you can begin in the front of Romans and then just kind of work your way through. As a matter of fact, these scriptures that are on the piece of paper, they're listed in my Bible so that when you are at one, it automatically tells you to which scripture to go to next. And they've added some since I've learned it, and so we'll go through that tonight. But before we do, again, we'll be in Romans chapter 10. I'll tell you what, I was able to be with some pastor friends this afternoon, and one of them, and I was telling him that God's put on my heart that there needs to be, who put Otis's name on this? Huh? I just noticed it. It says, don't touch the mic, Otis. he had one of his children tell him that they couldn't remember him ever going through the plan of salvation. And the Lord's just putting it on my heart that it regularly needs to be preached and taught on, even in the body of Christ, you know. So we'll be in Romans chapter 10 again tonight, kindly focusing on verses 9 through 13 to kick us off. But before we do, do we have any words of praise or testimony tonight? Amen. Amen. Oh, the presence of the Holy Spirit is, you can't, it's got to be authentic, don't it? I mean, you can't whip it up emotionally or anything like that, and it's just it gets so good sometimes you just don't want to leave the property, you know, you just want to be on the property. And then praise the Lord, we had probably 20 or more graduates at our baccalaureate service today, and hallelujah, that's the first time we've did it since 2019, and it just brings joy to your heart to be able to do it. It's like I told them as you're turning to Romans 10, I had never been a part of one before I came to Thomas Village, and I just think it's awesome that you can speak blessings over the next generations, and you can pray blessings over them and encourage them specifically from a Christian perspective, because in the schoolhouses and anymore like that, you know, it's not permissible, but we can do it, and the more we can, the better it is. So anyone else with a word of praise or testimony? Brother Wayne is home, praise the Lord. He was able to come home, and we thank God for that. Any others? Mm-hmm. Yeah, she set her legs. You remember that was the issue before she fell, and She said her legs have dried up now and scabbed over, so praise God for that. I tell you, it looked like a burn victim almost, you know. And she said that we'd be amazed at how God's worked there. Anyone else? We do want to take the time to go through our prayer needs tonight. And, you know, I know it takes some time to go through these, but it means a lot to people to know. When you're on this sheet and your names are being called out, it means a lot to those that know you're calling them out. Number one and utmost, we want to pray for the lost, those that don't know Jesus Christ. And then I want us to add that we pray for a burden for the lost as well, that God give us a burden. I challenge you to get one of our other sheets with the list of those that we're concerned about their souls, and just try to lift them up at least one time a week. Pray for those that are backslidden, marriages, those that are bereaved. We called out Brother Danny Sheffield, and I was talking to his daughter today and said that Miss Angela, his widow, is doing better than to be expected, you know. And then we want you to pray for Amy Harris as well. Clint Harris, a pastor friend of ours from South Georgia, we was his mother and stepfather's dad, his stepfather's pastor for years, and he passed away unexpectedly last week, and she kindly was able to give a testimony this morning. I wasn't able to hear it, but I want to pray for her. Only child. So, Brother Foy and Sister Marion and Amy. Pray for those dealing with COVID-19 and those affected by it. Continue to pray for the war victims. And pray for both sides, you know. We know as good as many that lots of times your government does stuff that you don't agree with. And so pray for Ukraine and Russia in that situation. Also, pray for VBS, June the 13th through the 15th. And as you pray for ours, many are kicking off next week, going ahead and getting it going with Brother Tim and Silverleaf. They're going for 6 days this year, buddy. They, God bless them is what I say. But remember the 2022 elections. They're approaching fast. Many of the states are already had primaries and things like that. And then pray for recovery through Christ and pray for our Hope Mission there and Brother Jack and Sister Tina. And then we want to pray for Sister Tabitha as she's mending up from her surgery. And then Sister Teresa Cobb and Brother Danny Roten. I want to continue to pray for them. And then Sister Wilma Jean and then Sister Sheila Cantrell is going to be having surgery. Has to be there, I think, at 6 or so on Tuesday morning on her back. And then we want to pray for Jared Collins, Brother Jared Glass, Brenda Stevens, Barbara Peacock and her father, Linda Fletcher, Tony Barnes, Herschel Johnson, Joe Alcoa, John Austin, Chuck and Jean Dennison, Gene Fannin, Brother Larry Bledsoe, Melanie Lester, Kathy Kynes, Sister Mosella, Sister Ruth and Nick Roten, Ashlyn, Anthony, J.D. Nielsen, John Bryce, Jeanette Carter, Tommy Mullins, Wilma Daniels, Pam and Jasper Brown, Mary Jane Carter, Wilma Williams, Susan Lassiter, Karen McDavid, Charlie Taylor, Stenicky family, Ivan Scott, Lisa Estep, Billy Carter, Aiden Jordan, Kathy Baldwin, Miranda Caldwell, Dr. Awan, Mickey Gillum, Rhonda Doran, Larry Tomlinson, Mike Brown, Gail Stidham, Charlotte Bishop, Penny Horton, Junior Stidham, Chuck Kearney, Randy Meeks, Brandon Johnson, Terry Bueller, Debbie Starnes, CC family, Williams family, Jesse Bull, Margaret Savarsky, Jason Knight, Steve Smith, Buddy McNutt, Kevin Tigner, Heather Markham, Betty McCorkle, Maggie Statzer, Teresa Holden, Brother Roger and Sister Virginia, Junior Wade, Daryl Hurd, Brittany Grindstaff, Shalene Harris, Hazel Dingus, Haley Webb, Mr. Pippin, Lance and Sabrina Stollard, David and Felicia Cantrell, Tyler and Donna Haas, Judy Webb, Chris and Jennifer Strange, Dakota McQueen, Daisy Richards, Ethan Bowen, Eddie and Chris Barnett, Daniel Jordan, Robbie and Ezekiel Jordan, Carol Carter, Paul and Thomas Stoyer, Justin Bowen, Ruth and Rhea Osborne, Billy Joe Robbins family, JT and Gladys Jones, Laura Evans and family, Shannon Haynes, C. Osmond, Charlene Lofton, Denny Lemon, Cindy, Osborne, Bodessa Lawson, Genevieve and Jerry Flannery, DePaul Davis, Daryl Green, Deborah Taylor, Candy Worth, Leslie and Daryl, Kim and Dale Owens, Jimmy Taylor, Carol Dishner, Darlene Porter, Rhonda Bryant, Jalen and Scott Blesow, John and Carmen Shoup, Chelsea LeBlanc, Steve Neff, Linda Jackson, Helen Bowen, Peggy DeBoard, Liza Fletcher, Brother Hoyt and Sister Phyllis, Lottie Johnson, Mr. Frank and Ms. Cecilia Pennington, Randall E.D. Gunner, Mary Snodgrass, Nicholas Patrick, David Starnes, James Connor, Evan Bach, Jeff C's brother, Stuart Owens, and Buddy Hill, and Jan Williams. Is there any others? Ivan Scott. Amen. And she's still got about, I guess, about another month or more of the neck brace before they go and do the. When I saw her, she had tissue paper stuck all around it, you know, because it was chafing her skin and all that. And so just, that's my cousin's son I told you about that had the seizures a couple of weeks ago, and they had to take him to Charlottesville. Anyone else? Anyone else? I have a praise report. We had one scheduled for baptism on June the 5th, and now we've got two. So to God be the glory for that. Anyone else? All right. Brother Frank, would you come and lead us in a word of prayer tonight over our prayer needs? And the altar is always open.
Let's pray. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you we're able to be here this evening, Lord. And we do thank you for the baccalaureate service a little earlier today, Lord, that those in attendance. And we just ask your special protection and blessings upon them as they enter into a new phase of their life, as they graduate from high school, Lord, that you would just protect and guide them and give them wisdom in the choices they make as they move forward. We do ask, Lord, as we have a lot of prayer requests here that were mentioned this evening, Lord, and we just ask you to be with each and every one of them, for you know intimately, Lord, every situation and every need and every person mentioned, Lord, and we just ask you to have your will and your way in their lives, Lord, and that we would hold them up in prayer as brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, and just pray strength upon them. We ask, Lord, those that need healing, that you would touch them, Lord, and provide them that healing that they need. And, Lord, if it's your will that they not be healed, Lord, that you give them strength and give their family strength that's helped them, Lord, and are around them daily. And we ask you, Lord, just to burden our hearts is the message this morning, Lord, that we have a burden upon our hearts to tell others about Jesus Christ, Lord, for this world is in such need of that message, Lord. And we just ask you to give us a boldness as we go out, Lord, into our daily activities, that you would just guide and direct us, Lord, and give us the opportunity to witness in your name, Lord, for there's such a void that so many in the unsaved world are looking to fill, Lord, and it's simply just to come to you. And again, just give us an opportunity to witness in your name, and people would see our reactions and wonder why we respond that way, Lord, and not in a worldly way. And again, we just ask to be with Brian this evening, Lord, as he brings a message, that you would just guide us, Lord. Help us to become more intimate and more familiar with the Romans roads, Lord, so that we can begin at any spot when you give us an opportunity to witness in your name, Lord. And again, we just ask you, Lord, to put the word in our hearts, that you would burden us to put your word in our hearts, Lord, that you would just guide us, Lord. That, again, is what's missing so much in today's world, Lord, is the wisdom that you have wrote for us to just read and absorb, Lord, and apply to our lives, Lord. And we just ask you to help us to have, again, just a craving, Lord, to read your word, and you give us direction, Lord. And we just ask, Lord, as you guide us through this coming week and protect us, Lord, that your will be done, and that you just, again, Lord, help us to show others the love that you show us. And we just thank you for the greatest sacrifice and the love that was shown, Lord, through your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. Mm-hmm. In his name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. We'll be in Romans chapter 10. And, you know, there's never a bad Bible verse to memorize. But there's some that, as believers, like Brother Frank said, that we should hide in our heart, that we might not sin against God, is what the Scripture tells us. But some, like this here in the book of Romans, is one, we should memorize these, at least, if not verbatim, the precept that's in it, the truth that's in it, because one, the devil likes to, and our flesh likes to make us question our salvation, likes to get us while we're laying in the bed at night, right before we're going to go to sleep, and you're pondering the things of the day, and then the old flesh will, you think about something that maybe wasn't a godly action that you did today, and am I, ain't I? You know, and we talked about how our mood and our mind many times are our worst enemies, you know, that they fight against us, and they war that carnal man and that spiritual man, you know, that are warring there. But when we take these truths, these precepts, as we find here in the book of Romans, we can invalidate our emotions. We can trump our emotions by truth. And, you know, sometimes, like we said today, truth, though it's not always comfortable, it may not always be convenient, but it will always stand, and it provides a place of sure footing. And so that's why we want to remember the word. But also, you never know when God might open up an opportunity for you just to tell somebody how to surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. So let's begin here in verse 9, and we'll read through verse 13. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, Whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you and love you tonight. And I thank you, Lord, that you are the forgiver of sins, Heavenly Father, Lord. And I just praise you and ask you to forgive me of my sins. But I pray that you'll take your word as it's done been asked, that you'll hide it in our hearts. And let Heavenly Father, Lord, by the Holy Spirit and your truth, we will be conformed into the image of our Savior. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. As we're talking about, and God's blessing us that we're being able to see some baptisms, and it's we never want to take for granted when we're able to be able to baptize. Now, by the next time, there will not be a plastic sheet at the top of it, and so we won't have anybody fall this time. But it's a privilege to have people baptized and to be able to, because many churches aren't seeing baptisms, and everyone is a blessing from God, and the glory alone belongs to God. And but before I baptize anybody, whether it be that that through the ministry here and the work that we do, they come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, or many people, after they've been saved for a little while and they understand Scripture a little bit better, they may have been baptized before they actually accepted Jesus into their heart, or maybe they've got to a point to where they understand some things better and want to place a marker, such as in the Old Testament when they would God would work, they would build altars of stone, and it would be places of recognition. But before we do that, I sit down with the individuals and we go through these scriptures, because I don't want anybody to be able to have to wonder, well, was the pastor correct? Did we pray the right prayer? Did I walk down the aisle on the right day, or whatever? It's based on the truth of God and the authority of God's word, and that alone is what we should stand on and do stand on. So tonight I want us to begin. Let's begin in Romans chapter 3. We'll go back there. Now, the ones with the stars by, that's not been a part of the one that I learned. The ones that's in dark print are the ones that I use. But in the modern day, this is what they're doing. And it's like we was talking this morning. Before somebody can be forgiven of their sins, they have to understand that they're sinners. They have to recognize that we have broken God's law, as we talk about the Ten Commandments. If we've told a lie, then we've broken. And the book of James tells us that if we break one of them, we're just as guilty as those that would break all of them, because all of us are under the umbrella of sin. We're sinners by nature. That's who we are. And so that's where we begin here in the book of Romans. That, you know, if you ask somebody if they're going to heaven and they say yeah, and then you ask them why, what will most people tell you? I go to church. I'm a good person. I've been baptized. Exactly. See, it's kind of the idea that you know, and it's I reckon it's our culture, but somehow, some way, we've got the idea that St. Peter's going to be standing there at the gate, and there'll be this big scale he's holding, and on one side there will be all our bad deeds, and then on our other side will be all our good deeds. And if our good deeds outweigh our bad deeds, then St. Peter's going to say, come on in, right? But the Bible says, it teaches us that our righteousness, our good deeds are what? As filthy rags. There is nothing. They're just dirty and soiled linens. And truth be told, I mean, let's be honest about it. Have we really done more good things than we have bad? I mean, that's kind of, I wouldn't want to depend on that, just to be honest with you. I wouldn't want to depend on that. So we look there in Romans chapter 3, verse 10. It says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Now, what does the word righteous mean? In right standing with God. Doing or being right with God. And like we said a while ago, we have broken His law, and many of us, most of us, I would say all of us, we have disrespected Him by disregarding Him much of our lives. I mean, you think about it. When we wake up in the daytime, especially before we knew Jesus Christ and He had brought the light into our lives, did we really give any thought to our Creator? Did we stop and make time for Him? No, the Bible says that none seeks after Him. And that's why it is, salvation is all a work of God. While we talked about this morning, being, you know, get a grip, but it is Christ who gets a hold of us. He grabs us. So we would say, like we were talking with someone and they, said, I think I'll go to heaven because I'm a pretty good old boy. And we say, well, if what you believe was wrong, would you want to know? And most people would. I mean, most people would tell you, well, yeah, I want to go to heaven. Who doesn't want to go to heaven, right? I mean, not many people saying, yeah, just book me on the next one to hell. That's kind of my goal in life is to. No, everybody wants. There, I believe this. Inside of us, God has put something in us that there is a desire and a knowledge that there is life after this world. There is another plane. There is another realm that we are to live in. And so that's right. There is flat out saying that there is none who is righteous. So then we're at that point. We're talking to them. We try to explain righteousness and what righteousness is. And basically, it means that there is no one that is automatically in right standing with God. No one. Now, yes, there is the age of accountability, you know, and some that have issues mentally, and I believe God has taken care of them. I believe that 100%. And so then they may say something like this, well, why am I not righteous? What makes me not be right with the Lord? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 3, verse 23. And it says here, and see what you would do there at Romans 3:10 is out beside it. You could just put 3:23 and you would know to go to that book or that chapter. It says, for all have sinned and fell short of the glory of God. Now, the way I would describe the glory of God is what that would be. It would be the standard, God's standard, that none of us meet God's standard. What is God's standard? It's Christ Jesus. That's the standard, perfection. He who knew no sin. He was here 33 years, but you know, a lot of people today, they would say that sin is some religious term, and really outside of the church, is sin ever talked about? Really and truly, in the society we live in, there's no such thing as sin, right? I mean, hey, man, whatever morality you want, whatever gender you want to be, I mean, before long, they're going to tell you, if you want to be a teenager again, just say you're a teenager again. Hey, go ahead. You deny the laws of nature. It's no big deal. But, what was that, sister?
I said that would be a point.
Amen. That's what I told them at the baccalaureate service today. I told, one of the points was be ready. And then I got to thinking, buddy, because you don't know what's coming. This is the COVID generation. Man, they've been through no school, in school, in class, no class, online, with a mask, no mask. I mean, they have lived it all. If anyone comes out knowing you better be ready, it's that generation. But a lot of people do not know what sin is. And so then we would need to define sin. And yes, you could go to the commandments and you lay them out. And the Bible does tell us this in the book of Proverbs, that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Not that the law saves us, but it brings us to a point of salvation. How many, and this is what I like to do with our Awana students, how many of you, when you were at home, your mom and dad had rules? Most of us, right? Somebody tell me a rule that your mom and dad had. Don't back talk. Give me another one. My mama had one, don't eat in your bedroom. And I broke that many a time right there. Huh? Don't lie to me. See, what it is that, and what would happen? If you obeyed those rules, everything was cool and copacetic, right? But if you broke those rules, what happened? There was some type of penalty. It might have been a whooping, it might have been a grounding, it's something like that. And that's what sin is. When God created the earth, He created it in such a fashion and that there He expects, we are His chosen creation. And just like our parents expect us to follow their directions and respect them, our Creator is the same way. He when He created the garden and Adam and Eve, He expected them to honor Him and to take care of this. But what happened? We're sinners and we like sin, and so we have broken the commandments of God, and therein is where we fall short. We do not meet that standard. We do not measure up. And so then they would say, well, when I was at the house with my mama, if I broke the rules, they had a punishment. What happens if I break God's rules? Well, let's turn to Romans chapter 5, verse 8, and let's look at that. Or excuse me, let's go to, yeah. Let's go to 5:12 there. Let's go to 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man's sin entered in, yeah, let's go to 6:23. You're right, sister. See, these new ones have messed me all up. They've put the new ones in there. And let's go to Romans 6:23. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And we don't use the word wages anymore very often, but the wages is what we earn at the end of the work week. Why? I mean, we give X amount of hours for so many dollars, and because we've done that, then we're owed something. Well, because we have broken God's law, we are deserved a punishment. We have earned the punishment. Just like when we broke mom and dad's rules, we earned a spanking, or we earned a grounding. And the same way is with Jesus Christ. Notice, and then it says, for the wages of sin is death. Not just the physical death, but it's the spiritual death. You remember in the book of Revelations, hell is called the second death. And the thing is that in hell, it doesn't stop. The agony of death just continues on into eternity. And it says in the book of Revelations as well that the smoke of their torments will bellow. And what a horrible picture that is. I mean, even my own enemy, someone I don't like, I would never want them to spend an eternity in hell's flames. You know, it says it's a place where the worm dies not. You know, I mean, those in hell are not going to get a new body. They're not going to receive a brand new body. Meaning that if they had sickness, they'll probably have that same sickness. And when you think about worms and death, what do you think about? You think about maggots and things like that. I mean, it is not a pretty picture. And I know this isn't popular preaching right here because it's not pretty, but we've sugarcoated it a lot, and we've got the Walt Disney mentality that somehow it's going to end up in a happily ever after. But the Bible says, there will be many that says unto me, Lord, Lord. And Jesus will say, depart from me, for I never knew you. And so we would explain that the wages of sin is death. But the free gift is eternal life. Nothing. There's nothing. And this is, we have a problem understanding this, because something that's in us, and it's, I believe it's what's called the pride of life, is that we want to earn it ourselves. We want to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. You know what I mean? And I learned this one time where we were at a town fest or something like that, and we were just giving out bottles of water. And it had like on the outside of it the church's name and all that kind of stuff. And everybody that come around, they would ask you, how much? How much? And when you would say, it's free, they would steal. Well, here, have a dollar. You know, something like that. But what Christ has for us, and remember, we talked about it this morning, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it says, it's not His will that any should perish. Why? That's why He makes the gift free. He puts it out there. And so then, and then I would go from there, I would go to Romans chapter 5, verse 8. And I wanted to tell them how Christ offers this. Why can Christ offer? How does Christ offer this free gift? Well, Romans chapter 5, 8 says, but God showed His love for us in that while we were still sinning, Christ died for us. While we were not thinking anything about Christ. You know, think about it. In our life pre-salvation, we never thought about Christ, but did that change the fact that Jesus still died for us? Nope. Doesn't change the fact at all. Why? Because He loves us. He has an undescribable passion for you. And He has a jealousy over you that He doesn't want anyone to have your favor or your attention. He desires that relationship with us. And so He so much wants to give you that free gift that He took the punishment you earned. The punishment that, I think it was Brother Gary Edwards that tells the story about when he was in school and he got in trouble, and I believe it was his cousin, or either a cousin or a brother, and he was going to get a paddling, and his Brother Gary's cousin or brother went up and took the whipping for him. Praise God, I want friends like that. Amen, that they'll step up. But that would be like when Daddy used to call us out from the pulpit in church on Sunday, and when you got your name called from the pulpit, you knew you was going to get a whipping when you got home. And we had all our different room, and I was always last, and I had to wait and listen to everything that was. And see, he didn't get primed up until he got to me. I mean, but that would be like my brother saying, hey, not only whip me for what I did, but whip me for what Brian did. See, that's an unfathomable love. It does not make sense to a lot of people. It doesn't make sense to me, but it doesn't have to make sense. I just have to believe it. And the world, that's what's awesome. We're living in some crazy times, chaotic times, where there is no standard or anything like that. And people are looking for something that's real, and truth is real. Truth will stand. And so then we'll say, we'll go from that and we'll say, okay, there's a free gift being offered to you. And you remember this morning when Brother Chris came up here and I had a gift for him, and what did he have to do? All he had to do was respond. All he had to do was receive it. And that's why we say that salvation is not of works, because we don't do anything for it. We can't do anything for it. And then from 5:8, I will take them down to Romans chapter 10, verse 9 where it says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Now, usually what I'll do here is this. We'll go back through, and I'll talk to them about, do you understand what sin is? Especially like when it's a wanna, you know. I want to hear them tell me that they understand what sin is. They acknowledge that, yes, I broke God's rules. And then I'll say, okay, well, this says first you've got to believe it in your heart, okay? Do you believe that you broke God's rules? Yeah. Do you believe that because you broke God's rules, you earned a punishment? Yeah. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? To the best of my ability. Do you believe that he died on the cross, not just for sin, but do you believe he died on the cross for your sins? For those things that you wouldn't even want anybody else to know. Do you believe he did it? Yeah. Well, the Bible says if you believe it in your heart, the next thing is natural. Confess it with your mouth. And you know, I know a lot of people like to lead in a sinner's prayer or quote, you know, kind of, and that's almost become like a magic prayer anymore. If you just say that prayer, then everything's A-okay. I don't believe there's a certain set of rules that you have to, words you have to say. It's the heart you say it with. Sometimes it might just simply be something like, Jesus, I need you. Other times it might be, dear Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I broke your rules and I believe you died on the cross. But all it simply says is to confess it. Doesn't say what to how or anything like that. So you're halfway there. And then we would go from verses 9 and 10 of Romans chapter 10. And then we would do Romans chapter 13. And in 13. Did I say it wrong? I do that quite often. Romans 10:13, for anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. And then what I'll ask them to do is like I asked you this morning. Instead of whosoever or anyone, throw that out. And in that one, and this is what I do. When we baptize someone and we go through it, I give them a copy of this. And it's blank like it is. Now, it's in a better order than this. Been a busy day. It was in a different order. But I'll have them read it first. Instead of whosoever, let's put my name. For Brian shall call upon the name of the Lord and will be saved. And you know what? Like I said this morning, the awesome thing is anybody's name fits. And that's the truth, because remember, we have to believe not only that he died for sin, but he died for my sin. And that it is me who he's saving. And so, thou have them write their name right in that thing. And is it true? Would it still be a true sentence? Yes, it would still be. Matter of fact, that's why I want them to know it. Because that truth will bring you peace. In the midnight hours, it'll bring you peace when you fail and you messed up and the old flesh and the devil's kicking you around and saying, how could you do that? How could you think you're saved? I don't think that I'm saved. I know. And John said it. These things have I written that you may know. How do I know? Well, because Romans chapter 10:13. And you know, every now and then it's good. Yeah, how many of you like to go on walks? And you might have walked the same road 100 times, but it's still enjoyable to go on that walk, ain't it? And that's the way it is about the Romans road, about the plan of salvation. Yeah, I've read it a lot, but man, it's just good to go back down that road and to let the truth of God combined with the Spirit of God bring that confirmation inside of me. All right, that's any thoughts tonight? None? Amen. Fresh and new every day. And really, like I said, some of the best witnessing that you'll ever do is just telling what Jesus means to you and what he's done for you and how he's worked in your life. People like genuine. People can tell if it's genuine most of the time. Anyone else? Mm-hmm. Amen. And that's what is so awesome about Awana is because it's instilling the word at an early age. And you know as well as I do, I can't memorize scripture now like I could when I was 12, 13 years old. I remember doing plays for the church, and part of it, you would have to memorize passages of scripture, and I can still, for unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I mean, hey, man, them angels, and I could do that, buddy. I was part of the heavenly host many times, you know. And I'm going to be again one day. Anything else before we do? All right. God bless you. It's been a busy day. It's been a good day. And let's remember to pray for one another. If you are out and about on Thursday or Tuesdays at 11 o'clock, there's usually about three or four of us on most Tuesdays that we just get in here and we just call the names out on the list verbally. And we just pray for their salvation. We pray that God will call them. That's the specific prayer, that God will call. And that he'll use the word, whether it be in a song or a gospel track or anything like that. Praise God, I want to thank the Gideons and Brother Paul and Brother Roy and the rest. We were able to give the seniors Bibles today, weren't we? And that is awesome. All right. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Mm-hmm. How many?
650,000.
You know. Amen.
One-on-one.
And I know it's not, we like numbers, and we know it's not about money, but you tell me in ministry-wise, where do we get that type of return on any other type of investment? One in four of those boxes sees a child make a confession of faith in Christ Jesus. That is amazing. That is amazing. Amen. 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 And he, like in China, the underground church is flourishing. It's flourishing. But, you know, they have the limits on children and things like that, you know. And it's just where the word's flourishing, the devil's fighting. And I think that's a part of what we see in the Ukraine right now. Is that it? And really, from what I could tell, the Ukraine was kindly a doorway into that region that you could go through the Ukraine, and it would go out into other countries in that area from the Ukraine. You know, so anything else tonight? All right, Brother Ken, would you come and close us out in a word of prayer? And God bless you. I love y'all.
Let us bow. Father God, and again, it's truly to be good to be in your house amongst your people. And to hear your word be proclaimed. And we'd like to lift up all those people that are not saved and hope somebody get somebody in their path that would teach them the Roman road and let them know what Jesus is all about. Because that's the reason we're here. And just be with us and love and guide us as you always do. Be with the leaders of our country that they may make wise decisions. Remember all those on our prayer list and also the ones that we've listed that are not saved. And just, again, we love you, Jesus, and thank you for everything. And we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.